Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, back on another edition of Needin' Unfiltered with myself, Kenyon Martin, and yours truly,
JD Kiss, the co-host. We here, Needin' Unfiltered. You ready, yeah. Big bro?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. Let's get it. NBA trades, man. A lot went on last Thursday. Like the most movement ever. I think it was 46 different players moved.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lot of movement, man. Yeah, it's a lot of movement on trade. Yeah, because I did a trade deadline show. I think I did pretty good. I sound like I know what I was talking about a little bit, man. Somebody need to pay me.
Definitely do. You definitely do.
No, but yeah, so Victor Oladipo went to Miami.
To Miami.
That was like the 25th hour, Joe.
Pat Riley still pulling strings.
Norman Powell went to Portland. Gary Trent Jr. went to Toronto, which was a little weird to me because I thought Gary Trent was a good fit.
I thought they was really working him out to have a nice long future in Portland, but you know how the business goes.
Yeah, but Toronto didn't want to pay Norman Powell, so that's what that was about more than.
He even put some work in over there. I thought they would pay him too. You're right.
Yeah, like he was up this summer, so he unrestricted this summer. Somebody going to have to pay him. So Toronto, I guess they feel they didn't have the money to pay him after paying Siakam and Fred, and now Kyle's still on the books. So.
Yeah, they had to make a move. Okay.
Yeah, but I guess. But yeah, that was a little weird. Big fellow Vucevic from Orlando. That was a shock to me.
Right?
Yeah, that was a shock.
I thought he was the center. I thought he was one of the pillars of the team over there in Orlando.
Yeah, he was getting it done. Like multi-year all-star. Like we knew Gordon was on the block, but nothing was ever said about that. Like that was a surprise. Me being in Chicago when the trade went down. They was excited. The people around there that I was doing.
They should be. That's a damn good piece.
Yeah, I agree. My bad. Who else?
Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee went to Denver.
Yeah, that's a good pickup for
Denver.
Great. They got athletic.
Yeah.
So that was my thing about last show. That the Nuggets struggled in when they played the Lakers was athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they got better in that regard. So they definitely helped themselves.
Yeah.
Who else? The Lakers added. Well, they didn't make any moves. They were trying to get Kyle Lowry. That fell through. Yeah, I guess they didn't want to give up. Horton Tucker was the holdup. Toronto wanted him, and they was like, nah, because the kid can play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, the kid can actually go. Like he inner city Chicago kid, like he get it done.
He on the Lakers?
Yeah, number five, the Horton Tucker kid. Like he don't play a lot because he plays small forward, and they got that one guy that play that position, LeBron James. So he don't get a lot.
He
of
still
clout.
Must be tough though. If they don't want to deal with him, he got to be something special.
Yeah, and he young. He like 20. He can go, Kiss. Like. I saw him up at the gym. He was taking turns boning people. Like, yo, calling.
You give him some props, that means he can go. He really can go.
He had a favorable matchup. They come and set the pick and roll. He waving the pick off. Like, no, they just going to switch it. I like this matchup.
Ooh.
He boning dude at the gym, like having his way. So, yeah, that was the holdup in the trade.
That's ill.
Yeah, but no, yeah, I just think it was a lot of moving pieces that J.J. Redick went to Dallas.
Yep. Aldridge went to the Nets.
Yeah, on the buyout.
Yeah,
we're going to get into that a little bit. it's that fact that we can talk about it now. So what's your feelings about that? I don't have no. I don't, it is what it is to me. Like they
it didn't really. I didn't. It didn't really. I mean, you made me think Blake was just a wasn't nothing special about that.
Yeah, because it's.
And I feel, even though Ulrich, I don't know what he's gonna give. I don't know. You know. I know he used to be
solid. Like he's a solid pick and pop guy that you have to respect in that regard because he gonna knock that shit down. You don't get over there.
That's like. A fact.
He's not good defensively. He never has been. Blake has never been a good defender, but he gives them a different dynamic.
Yeah.
I think they're one in the same right now.
Mm.
So if they can get what the Lakers got out of JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard last year, if they can get that kind of productivity from DeAndre Jordan, DeAndre Jordan, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin together.
Yeah.
If they can get them to do that, they'll be fine.
Okay.
Because they can only play one of them at a time.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You can play. Yeah, because
You can't play Blake and Aldridge at the same time.
No, they're horrible defensively. Like, yeah. That should be a disaster. At least you can get some brim protection with DJ still.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
DJ gonna block.
And he a lob threat, and he's still a lob threat. You know what I'm saying? So LaMarcus not a lob threat. I don't know how much jumping Blake gonna do if he
Blake
wants to
been
do
dunking.
Any.
Blake got about 3 dunks since the last time we talked.
But like I said, he not a lob threat right now like he was once was. So. But yeah, but they get that kind of productivity out of them three bigs. I think they'll be all right.
Yep.
Because Blake is definitely a pick and pop guy. LaMarcus is a pick and pop guy. DJ is still
a professional
rolling.
Player. Because you just that's ill. I never thought they like one and the same. They got very similar games.
Yeah. So, but defensively they definitely struggle. So we'll see how that plays out. Yeah, it should be interesting, man. The team that's not in it right now, I'm saying the Houston Rockets, I like the moves that the Rockets made, to be honest with you.
Shipping Victor out.
I like Avery. If Avery Bradley stays.
Avery's solid. I like Avery Bradley. I always like Kelly, him. Play D. He played both sides of the ball.
And Kelly Olynyk.
I like him. He can shoot.
I like DJ Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Wilson solid. Kid been playing well for him. So I like the moves that they made, man. My young boy still getting his clock. That's what matters. You know what I'm saying?
No
with all the moves they made, he's still getting his burn. So that's
Let's go, KJ. Let's go, baby.
You know what I'm saying? I like the moves the Rockets made. Like, ain't nobody talking about it because they next to last in the West and all that. They lost 20 straight.
They gearing up. They gearing up.
I like it. Like, I don't know who all is going to be there next year.
Next year, yeah.
But right now, if they bring most of these guys back, because they got a lot of draft picks next year, so it's going to be interesting,
group.
Man. Yeah, they got a solid group to pick from. Like,
let's work with Coach Salas, man.
Yeah, if you got to pick pieces from what they did,
mm-hmm.
I like them being able to pick pieces from the moves that they made in order to put a team together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I still think they need a big, like a true big. Because mm-hmm. Christian Wood is a pick and pop guy. They need somebody who can bang, hold bigger guys off.
Protect the rim, yeah.
Yeah, because that boy lighting his ass.
Yeah. He like to let that thing fly. So he's going to need somebody to back him. Yeah, he need a real big.
Yeah, he need a real big. So hopefully that's what they're looking for moving forward. But no, it was some good moves made, man. So the second half should be interesting. Moving into the playoffs should be interesting.
Definitely.
So, the tournament.
The madness is real, baby.
Some good games, man.
Great games. That Bama-UCLA game was incredible.
Yeah, that was a good game. Dude came off the bench, walk-off three. Like, he wasn't in the game before that.
All net. I said, no. I was in the crib saying, he ice cold. Don't shoot that thing. He let that thing go like he knew it was.
Yeah.
He knew what it was, man. I felt bad for him when they lost because he was one of the only seniors on the team.
Yeah, but he make that shot right. He get in the game, so he make that shot. They start him in overtime, right? He get fired in overtime, go to the line and miss two free throws. Miss bad. Free throws. Like, bad, though. Man. It wasn't even close.
They were shooting them things so hard yesterday. It was killing.
They was 11 for 20. Like, that was the game. They missed 14 free throws. They was 11 for 25.
Like, facts.
Yeah, you miss 14 free throws in the tournament. Yeah, you might not win. But yeah, so Elite Eight tonight. You got Oregon State, Houston, Arkansas, Baylor, UCLA, USC, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Some good bumps out here.
Yeah, it's a great tournament.
I like Michigan. Like, Michigan got a big ass team.
Michigan is tough. I would have took Michigan's hands down if one of the guys is hurt. They still super tough. And I would have had them cleaning the board if they would have had if that kid wasn't hurt. I forget what his name is. If they had the full team healthy, I got them taking anybody down. I still got them going. I still got them making.
One got them out there playing NBA defenses in college. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
So they down and picking rolls. They doing all kind of shit out there that other teams are not doing. So that's why they tough to beat.
They look. Like, you can see they look like they had some different training.
Yeah, yeah.
Calvin Sampson got Houston looking something tough too.
Oh yeah, Your Oregon State got their hands full with them tonight.
That's a factor.
Yeah, they got their hands full. But Baylor look good.
Baylor's like my dog. I just love them group of guys, how they play together, man. You know what I mean? I feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, speaking of college basketball, Mike Woodson.
Yeah.
My coach when I was with the Knicks got the Indiana job. It's his alma mater.
Shout out to Coach Woodson. Yep.
Shout out to Woody, man. Like, Woody a good coach, man. Like, I don't know how Woody gonna be with kids, though.
He's gonna have to tone it down somehow.
Because Woody speak his mind. Like, Woody, old school black man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Woody was good with us. We was vets.
Yeah, because you understand, Woody, you can receive it the right way.
Yeah, you can say whatever to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can say whatever to Shee. You can say whatever to Melo. You can say whatever to J. Kidd. You can say whatever to, I'm saying, we had guys that Marcus Camby, Tyson Chandler. Like, you can say whatever to us. It don't, it's whatever. Like, so we've been around. I'm saying,
brush it off. Take it for what it's worth.
Kids,
you might crush some in their spirits.
Yeah, definitely. But it's a good opportunity for him, man, to be a head coach again. He's on the staff with the Knicks right now, so I don't know if he leave immediately or whatnot. But no, it's a great opportunity for Woody, man. Me and Woody had a good rapport my tenure with the Knicks, man. I was sad to see him go and how it ended, but I'm glad he got another opportunity, man, to be a head coach. And hopefully this goes well and he can get back in the league if that's what he wants, to be a head coach again, which I'm pretty sure would be on his bucket list of things. But now, it's a great opportunity for him, man.
Shout out to Coach Woodson.
Now you got to recruit. Like, now you got to – like, that's – like, you ask people that have been in both college and pros, like, what is the – like, the thing. Like, coaching is coaching, but the recruiting part is like, being on the road all the time, having to deal with kids and kids' parents and all that shit. They say, like,
difference,
that's the hard,
big difference.
That's the hardest
yeah.
part. That's the hardest part for it. Yeah, then somebody signing the players and you don't really have to deal with, I'm saying, like, nobody but the player. Like, yeah, it could be a little different, man. NBA Africa League starting up May 16th in Rwanda.
Africa?
Yeah, yeah. I had been heard about it. They got, like Africa. It's like they got, like, a – university kind of like a skills school over there. And when KJ and them was at a tournament, they brought their team to the IMGs, the situation. They raising them. Yeah, they teaching them fundamentals of the league. Because they, as you can see.
A lot of them make it.
Yeah, and they athletic. They learn fast. And they work and they play hard as fuck. So all the time. And they don't know nothing else. You know what I'm saying? So you can see, like I said, just to take me from, I'm just from inner city. I played hard all the time. You can teach me to dribble and shoot. Can't teach me to play hard. I already do that.
Yeah.
So that's what they have coming into the situation. So, no, I think it's going to be good. It's going
to be a lot.
That's
dope. I think that's super dope.
Yes, yeah, another stepping stone for basketball around the world.
That's super dope, man.
Yeah, give them an opportunity, man. So I know I think it's going to be good. Yeah, starting May 16th in Rwanda. So
that's fire.
Be looking out for that. Man. Definitely be looking out for that, people. Like, I think it's going to be, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I think that's going to be super cool. NBA Africa. Wow. Look where this game's, look how the game's evolving. Governor Cuomo, for now, is talking about finally signing a bill and legalizing marijuana in New York State.
So is it going to be up for vote like it is in most places, or he's just going to
sign the bill? No, it's going down. Now it's just when they're going to do it, because, you know, they could do it tomorrow, this week, or they could wait all the way to the last day of the year to stretch it to a year. So, in New York. They gonna put
Because I know it was legal in Jersey already. I know Jersey voted on it.
Yeah, Jersey already broke ground. Jersey already, they laws.
They got dispensaries and all that stuff.
Jersey's already up and running. So,
they popping. So New York is just going across the bridge again.
Yeah. So, you know, they start getting greedy. They notice the money that Jersey is gonna get. So I guess
they're fixing roads
about to
and
sign
shit.
That bill. Yeah.
Jersey over there fixing roads and shit. They like,
Jersey
shit.
Doing good. Jersey about to turn up.
Yeah, nah. I think it's dope, man, that a place like New York, that they already, if I'm not mistaken, they one of the places that they decriminalized, like, the marijuana part already, didn't they? Like,
yeah. So you get a disappearance ticket. Just less, some of the bullshit they used to put you through is not, you know, right now is they decriminalized it. So
for a joint,
like I said, yeah, you go through the whole system for a joint and have to hire a lawyer, and it'd be similar to a high profile case for something that's nothing at the end of the day when it gets in front of the judge. But now they eliminated all that.
I think it's dope.
You know, hopefully we get that bill signed sooner than later.
Letting some of these people out, man, locked up. Yep. That's locked up out the way, man, and for marijuana possession and for simple marijuana possession and stuff like that, man. Like,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I just think,
I think that's what's taking so long, because they know eventually they're going to have to let some of them people out for some of them crimes they was overcharged for marijuana. So
yeah,
like, that's going to come, that's going to come even. After,
like, if you got
bill.
Caught with a half a ton of weed, then like, now that's something else to talk about. but if you
little recreation,
come on, man. Let's be honest. No, but I think it's dope, man, that they following suit with a lot of other surrounding states around them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's popular around them and other parts of the country. So, and it's generating a lot of income. It's employing people. Jobs are needed still.
Yep. Helping a lot of people with health issues.
Yeah, a lot of that, man. I just think it's dope that they're on board now, man. Now if we can get Texas to do the same.
y'all going to come late. Y'all going to come at the end, too. You know, they're figuring out the most possible way to tax it. The most – each state going to have their own little twist of how they
– Yeah, but each state different. But I think if you just follow – like, take bits and pieces from the best states that's doing it. Like California, so strict as far as the laws and all that. I heard, you gotta every I, every T has to be dotted.
Yeah, you got your paperwork better be right, or they come.
Yeah, they're closing you down. So I just think if you other places take bits and pieces from here and Seattle and Colorado and I'm saying other places that's done in Oklahoma.
You can be able to get your infrastructure. You're right.
Yeah. So other states have proven that it works.
Yep. Crime rates down.
Yeah.
Finances up.
Yeah.
Employment. People talking to each other. Employment is up.
Yeah. Opioid overdoses are down.
Down.
So yeah, because people, when you got access to certain things, you don't got to go looking for other things. You know what I'm saying? Because there's some strong strands out here.
Facts. That'll take your socks off.
What? Listen. Hey, you right where you need to be. If not, go eat a couple edibles and go sit your ass down somewhere.
Right on down somewhere.
Well, because that's definitely what it's going to have you doing. But no, I just think it's dope, man, that they following suit with other places. And yeah, so good luck with that in New York City and New York State. Join the rest of the country, man. It's not harming anyone.
Speaking of the legalization, didn't you catch up with one of our OGs?
Yeah, man. Caught up with the homie GP, man. And me and him sat down and chopped it up briefly. Talked about his playing career. Talked about his medical marijuana line that he started. I don't know.
I actually went to the launch. I had the pleasure. They invited me and flew me out to the launch of when him and Burna, when he actually got with Burna and they launched it, you know, the official launch.
Yeah.
I was actually there, you know what I mean? Right. Got to kick it with him, kick it with Junior. They loaded me up, so it's definitely A1.
Already. That's what's up, man. Nah, it was a good conversation, man, so go check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, The Glove, Gary Payton.
What's up, baby boy? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What's everything good with you, sir?
Everything good, man. Shit, when I got the call saying that you wanted to get on, you know, you my guy. So I said, shit, let me jump on there, man, and get out with you, man.
Already.
I like what you're doing, man. Always doing, man. Doing positive stuff. I appreciate you doing this, man, for these young kids and everything, man, especially for your son. So, you know, make a role model for him, and I appreciate you doing that. You know, that's why I'm keen to you, man. You know, some dudes I don't really get down with, but just because you real and you keep it right. Yeah. Congratulations on all the things you're doing.
Yeah. I shall learn from the best, man, looking up at y'all and mimicking certain things that y'all did, man, how you always stay solid no matter what. You know what I'm saying? You stay professional, but you stay solid and didn't waver in things, man. So I learned a lot from you, man. Like, trust me.
Appreciate
always it. Speak up, know what you're talking about, stand firm, care about your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a lot.
Appreciate you.
So, second pick in the 90 draft, played on five different teams, nine-time All-Star, nine-time All-NBA for first, second, or third team. That's a hell of a resume, man, from a kid from Oakland.
You know what, Kenya, man, and I've been talking about this, and I've been getting a lot of answers. Just so happened, I've been getting a lot of things about how does it feel to be a Hall of Famer and stuff? And I'm going to tell you the truth. Coming out of Oakland, California, man, you don't even think that you're going to be that type of guy, man, and make these amount of escalades that I've done.
Yeah.
And what happened is that I think my father really, really pushed me to this. You know what I'm saying? My father pushed me to be out of the streets, do different situations, and then get my mindset to that. I wanted to get out of Oakland, California, and I wanted to do things to help other people and then come back and have other people follow me. Jason Kidd did a good job when I raised him, and now he's become a Hall of Famer, which you played with for many a years. And I just think that we're blessed to just be able to have an opportunity to get out of Oakland, California, and then do what we do. And I just can't say nothing else, man. I just did what I had to do, and I credit everything to my father.
Already, man. No, that's getting out of there, going to school for free, going to Oregon State.
Yeah.
I'm saying where you did your thing, obviously, to be the second pick in the draft. That's needless to say. How was your college experience coming from Oakland going to Oregon? Like, how was that for you? Like, how was...
Well, Kenny, you know what? It was really different because, you know, I had committed to St. John's University to play with Chris Mullins, Walter Berry, and all of them.
Okay. Did not Connor know Stecker, that, but wow.
Yeah. Connor Stecker pulled it at the last minute when we were about to make an announcement in a gym. And he came back. All of his assistants wanted me. And he came back and said he couldn't take me because he was going to mess up his recruiting process back in the East Coast. And, you know, during that time in the 80s, you know, people wasn't recruiting way over here, you know, like they're doing now. Everybody recruiting everywhere, getting just the best players. And when he took that scholarship back, it hurt me a lot. And then all of a sudden, I just went to my mom and And I told my mom, I said, I think I'm not doing something right as a young kid. At being a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to relax and chill. And she said, no, I want you to be focused on basketball in school because you need to be going to school because your grades are not good enough. And I said, okay, whatever. I said, you can make the decision for me now. And what happened was the next day, a couple of schools found out about that. St. John's had did. I had five offers that came back and letter of intent that was sent to the house. And I told my mom, I just said, hey, you make the decision because I think you know the right thing. And she picked Oregon State. And the reason she picked Oregon State was because of Ralph Miller. Because of Ralph Miller was really disciplined, and then the college was a college outside of the city. Yeah. I was a city boy, and I was like to run the streets. So when I went to Oregon State, that ain't nothing in there, man. It was nothing there. It was a big difference. I had to change, and it was good for me. And can you be honest? That's why I stayed at school for 4 years, because I wanted to know about knowledge, and I wanted to grow up. I didn't want to be one of them guys, man, to leave when I was a sophomore or a junior. And then all of a sudden, I failed to understand how to become a man. And when I became a man and I became what I wanted, I grew up a little quicker than what I did. And it was a great choice for me, for my mom. You know, I became National Player of the Year in 1990. We shared, me and LaSalle Simmons, we shared a couple of awards. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was the second pick, you know, I right behind Derek Coleman. So that was pretty good for me.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad draft, to say the least. man. But so you made a name for yourself. Your first couple of years, you struggled, but you became you defensively, the glove and all that, playing in Seattle. Like, how was like being in the, was it Northwest, the far Northwest?
Northwest, you're right.
Not that far from where you went to school, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right down the street, next.
Yeah,
next
so how was it? Yeah, so you going, it was real close, man. So I'm pretty sure you had the support you needed, mm-hmm. I'm saying, to come in and continue to play. Was George your first coach?
He was a kid. As you said in the beginning, I struggled in my first 2 years because of the simple factors. I had a coach, rest in peace, he just died, Casey Jones.
Okay.
Casey Jones was my first coach. I really thought that Bernie Bickerstaff was going to be my coach because he's the one who drafted me. When he drafted me, what he did was he took the head job and the general manager and the president job with the Denver Nuggets, and he left me. Yeah, and I was really bad because he was recruiting me since I was a junior. And he kept telling me that he was going to get me, but it was just a bad situation that he had to go take. He had to take it. You know, he was definitely running everything. He had to take it. So all of a sudden, the first 2 years was just horrible. Me and Sean Kemp, we struggled so tough, man. We just didn't do it, man. Casey Jones was playing me in the first and the third quarter no matter what. He wouldn't even give me a chance. When you come back from a team like Boston Celtics and win championships with Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, and guys like that, and come to youngsters, you got to teach us. He didn't have to teach them. And then he didn't understand it. And then what happened was we went in the office and we went to the owner. They were trying to trade us. And I said, hey, if you want to trade me, good. I said, but I'm not getting an opportunity here. I got to play the way I want to play. And then that's when they brought George Karl in, and George Karl brought Coach Gergerich in, and Coach Gergerich took me to as his personal protege, and he changed me into people. You know, King, how you like to post up. I never posted up in my life. He taught me the moves. He taught me them tricks. When he taught me all them tricks, then I started understanding how I could control people. Yeah. And then that's how I went. It started going there. I made the All-Star team the first year that George Karl came. And it was just one of them things where, hey, I started blossoming ever since.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of Gerg, like, Gerg is the man. Like, people don't Gerg gravitate towards guys like yourself and myself. Like,
right, like
that time in Denver, like, Gerg kept me sane.
He will do that. He will keep you sane. He will.
He kept me sane, man. He kept me off the ledge. Like, I was on the ledge. He kept me from jumping, so to speak.
Right. Right.
Gerg saved me a whole lot of money in Denver. Saved my career, and he definitely, man. So
and he did the same thing with me, Kenya, yeah. Because I used to want to kill George ass every fucking day, but I wanted to beat his head in, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it was this George or Gerg, and you gotta understand, King Gerg came from guys like that at UNLV.
Yeah.
So he knew how to get with us. He always went and recruited guys like ourselves coming from neighborhoods where he know that we need to just be let loose. Don't put all that boundaries on us, man, let us get loose, man. Let us do what we got to do. And that's why we love him to death, because he knew what we needed. And, you know, I get it, man. Cause some nights in them teams, you're going to want to kill somebody.
Oh yeah.
You're going to want to kill somebody.
And I was there. Yo, I was working out in Dallas. Gerg and Steve Hess came down there. They were like training and stuff during the summer. They sent Gerg down there. Cause that's my guy. We doing a drill. Man, I thought I killed Gerg. Like I faked one way and he went the same way as I did. Man, I ran Gerg over. Listen, yo. Hey, everybody in the gym collectively held their breath. It was like a
Yeah.
Hell, he hopped up, so he was like, no, I'm fucking good. I'm fucking good. Don't worry about me. I'm good. I was like, oh man, look at my house.
As him. You be thinking that he gonna kill him. But he was like, man, come on, man. Let's do this.
Bring it. Bring it.
Remember, he had the bags. He'd be hitting on your
arms. Oh, yeah.
Sweating like Gerg, a Billy goat. Yes, sir. That's Gerg, man. And he's right there with you.
So, defensive player of the year, man. Only guard to win the award?
Only point guard to win the award.
Your son recently was named defensive player of the year in the G League. Like, how did that make you feel? Like, being something that you was known for, you put your hat on that every game. How did that make you feel?
Ken, you know, with you having a son too, and you going to the games and being very involved in games, and you want your son to be just like you, but we sometimes have to step back and say, you know, he not me. Yes. He not me. You know what I'm saying? This is a different generation and things like that. But as you see this and you get to feel this and then say, man, he got it a little bit. He been hanging around me, man, and it makes you feel real good, because you know how these kids make you feel sometimes. They get tired of you, want to be, oh, man, why you always with me, man? Let me go do my own thing. You know what I'm saying? And you think that they don't really be listening to you sometimes, because they in their era. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But as me seeing my son win this recently, and he understanding that the defense was there, and that's what he watched as a young kid growing up with me, it makes you feel real good, because you'd be like, yo, he was listening a little bit, and he do have a little talent in that, and he do have something to get out with like that. And that's what it is about it, man. And I felt great about my son. And I just hope he just keep continuing to try to get better and better, so he can get on that next level and then try to do the same thing for a basketball team.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, we know everybody's path is different, man. I think he's going about it the right way. He knows what teams are looking for. He knows what he needs to do in order to get better. And from what I see, he's doing that. He's competing at the highest level. From when I first laid eyes on him over at the Drew League, like seeing him play over there, when him and KJ was on the same team. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, KJ like, man, Gary Payton's son can play. I'm like, oh, he's nice like that. He's like, yeah. I'm like, I need to go see him. I went and saw him. I'm like, oh, and he's athletic. I'm like, I didn't know he had all that with him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he got all that bounce to him. He got a little bounce to him.
Yeah, nah, that's what's up, man. I'm happy to see it, man. And just tell, like I always tell them, man, just keep working. Put your head down, man. Put your blinders on, man. Keep working, and it'll work itself out, man. And somebody, because all it takes is one.
Yeah.
Like, all it takes is one, man, to give you that opportunity. Let's talk some business stuff, man, real quick. I know you started your Gary Payton cannabis line. Like, is that something that came organically, or you is something like you always wanted to do? It was just you being at Oakland, and there's a lot of business there in the marijuana industry now. Well, was it presented to you, or like what?
Kenny, that's a good question, man. A lot of people ask me, how did I get into this, and how did this strand become the number one strand in the country? My guy Burner, which everybody knows from Cookies, He's from here. He's from the Bay Area. He's from San Francisco. So just so happened, people called me, and you let me tell you who called me and picked me to the game. It was our boy. You know our boy, Steven Jack. Steven Jack called me and said, "Man, man, your strand is the bomb. Can I come out there and get some?" And I said, "Steve, what you talking about?" He's like, "Man, you know they selling your stuff, man." So I looked it up. I called Burner. I hit Burner and asked him what was up. And next thing you know, we set up a meeting with each other, set the meeting up. We made a collaboration, put it together, put everything out. I put the picture out on the bags and stuff like that. It blew up. And what happened was after that came, I started telling people about the situation of my mom was dying from cancer. And I hated her seeing her suffer. So I started saying, I want to go into medical cannabis so I can get people who are struggling and get out of their pain and have them see it. I started getting into it and I gave my mom some stuff. And my mom started laughing for the last part of her life. And I was glad to see her that way and talking to until she passed away. And then all of a sudden, now it's turned into something different. You know, I got my own line with cookies. It's called a Hall of Gang. I'm giving a lot of players different strands. I got into the edibles. I got into my own farm. I done got into a lot of stuff now that it's really, really cracking. I'm trying to get a thing now that we got a protocol on concussions with the NFL. I'm trying to do that where we can try to experience some stuff to try to get these guys out of the NFL that had these concussions to start. They're doing the things that they're doing, killing themselves and stuff because it's so sad to see that. And I'm hating to see that, especially an athlete. That we are the same. We're the same people and we're athletes. And I don't want to see that keep continuing to happen. So I'm trying to get a product now out that we can help do that.
No doubt, man. That's what's up. Continues doing that good work, man. It's positive. It's a lot of opportunities in the industry. And I see you taking advantage of it, man. But I'm happy to see that the opportunities are there for you guys, man. Because, like, it's a lot of guys that played when you're doing your era that missed out on a lot of things that could be now. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So for guys to still reach out to guys like yourself and other people, man, I think it's dope.
I think it's dope, man. You said the right thing, King. It's like people before me, King. You know, Dr. J and Magic and all them dudes. But Magic's a different thing because he went to a different program level in his business. But like Dr. J, I just reached out to him and I want to do something with him because these guys didn't make this type of money. And you say the right thing. We don't take advantage of what we do. And we started off looking at them. Yeah. We raised up to them, just like what you said was you looked up to me when you were seeing the things I did and mocked yourself. Yeah. I did the same thing with Dr. J and George Gervin, you know, them guys that I looked up to, you know what I'm saying? And if I in a platform where I can help them, I'm going to help them, you know, and then it's just like with you, when you doing this type of stuff, it's my duty to say, yo, that's my young guy. I got to help him get his stuff off the ground. So we have to support each other and help each other and get each other and be on things like this to make things grow and make things get a little bit better. And that's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to be that way.
For sure. For sure. All right, brother, man, I sure appreciate the time, man. It was a pleasure for me, man, to have you on for one. Like I said, man, I respect you. I look up to you in numerous ways, man. Continued success in life. Stay safe out here, brother. Stay healthy.
You know that. And look, man, like I said, man, I appreciate you a lot, man. You're one of the younger guys that came in the league, man, and I really respect, you know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of guys out here that be faking with the thing, and you're not one of them. You're one of the guys that step up and say what you got to say. I love what you're doing right now with your platform and everything. Just keep doing it and just keep being positive with everything. You know how to do it, man. You know how to do it, and that's it. I'm proud of you to be in with this situation, and you just keep doing it, man. Like I said, like you said, stay safe out here and be good.
Yes, sir, brother. Appreciate you. Love.
Appreciate you.